Well, amen. Well done, students. We appreciate you and sharing with us tonight. Danny Pugh, they put them on you this morning, those invitation cards. You heard those young people talk about people inviting them, and then they invited others. One of them talked about their mother didn't have a car large enough to bring everybody they wanted to bring. And I've talked to that mother. She's praying she has more room, bring more people. So encourage you to invite folks, and those Easter invitations are at the end of the pew. If you didn't get one this morning, pick you up some of those. Take, invite your neighbor. Let them know. I was walking yesterday, able to share the gospel with one of my neighbors, and he gave one of the greatest testimonies. I'd never met him before, and he shared with me about knowing Christ, and just gave a great witness, and invited him to come to join us in church sometime. So I encourage you to do that as well. We'll take your Bible tonight, and let's go to the book of Proverbs. We're going to go to the 22nd chapter for a few minutes. Look there. We've got a short business session at the end tonight. Proverbs 22 and verse number 1. Proverbs 22, verse number 1. Let's all read it out loud together in unison at the same time. All right, here we go. Let's read. A good name. All right, a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. And favor, underline that word, favor. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, favor. Do you have the favor of God on you? I was on a plane coming back Minnesota, Wisconsin, and you know, every now and then you get a flight attendant who should be a stand-up comedian. And they make it real interesting, all the stuff you've heard 1,000 different times. And this lady said, if there were to be a problem and we lose the seal in the plane and we lose the, and the airbags come out of the ceiling, before you put yours on, put it on. Put it on you and then on your children. And it says, if you have more than one child, whichever is your favorite, start with them first and work downward from there. And of course, the whole plane just broke up and everybody, but that was like too true, you know. I mean, which kids you want to, because which one's your favorite? Well, this word favor does not mean that God has favorites, okay? But this word favor is a very interesting word, and we're going to look at it in just a moment here and in other places, because our church, you, your family, your ministry, your life, wherever, you need the favor of Almighty God to be on you. But before we get to favor, look at the first half of the verse. A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. More than your checkbook is your name. Now, you can take that personal tonight. Talk about your name. Everybody has a name, and then what does your name bring up when that name is said? Adolf Hitler. Johnny Manziel. Donald Trump, Barack Obama. See, a name carries something with it. Just let me call out your name. And that name means something somewhere to someone. Now let's think about our name. Olive Baptist Church. We shorten that now, and most people just say, I go to Olive. But our name is Olive Baptist Church. Olive is your geographical identification. We are in this Olive community on Olive Road. It's where we are. Baptist is your denominational identification. We're not Presbyterians. We're not Methodists. We love our Presbyterian brothers, Methodist brothers. This is not an Assembly of God church. I spoke with the Pace Assembly of God. I preached over there at their staff the other day. And Brother Joy and I are dear friends, as you know, and we do things together. And we're going to heaven together, but we do church a little different sometimes. And I jokingly say he's going to heaven if he doesn't run by it. I mean, it's, he's in a hurry. But it's a Baptist church. That's our denomination. And when we baptize, we place people under the water, raise them up. What a Baptist is. That's our denominational identification. So you have a geographical, then you have a denominational, then your church. You have a theological identification. The word church is not the word for club or country club. It's not a fraternity or a sorority. Church is a community of people gathered around Christ. Jesus is building his church. There's theology there because anybody can belong that comes to Christ. You don't have to have so much money or be born a certain way or in a certain way. Whosoever will, let him come. There's a theological identification. And when people say to you, I go to Olive, or I know about Olive, it brings up something. Just like those other names I talked about. When I say Olive Baptist, that means it may or may not be true, but it's what is true to them. Well, it's that way about your name and my name. But let me tell you, if you have the favor of God on you, you'll have a good name. And if this church has the favor of God resting on it, this place will have a great name because the favor of God, it's the word roshon in Hebrew. Raw, R-A-W is the first half of it, and S-H-O-N on the back half. Roshon is the word favor. It means the pleasure of God. It means the goodwill of God. It means the delight of God. That means God is pleased with you. It's the favor of God. It's a good way to pray for people. Lord, I ask for favor to be on Philip as he walks forward. I pray for favor to be on this marriage. I pray for your faith, your pleasure, your goodwill, your delight to be there. Our church needs the favor of God. You need the favor of God. There are three great metaphors in Scripture for favor. And I want us to look at those three tonight and see a little bit more about favor. Okay, here we go. Number one, in the Bible, favor is a shield. It's a shield. In Psalm 5 and verse number 12. Yeah, here we go. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with, what's that word? No, roshon. Okay, here we go. You surround him with, that's a way to go, you bunch of Jewish folks, you. With favor, the roshon, as with a shield, a shield. The first metaphor is that the favor of God is like a shield. Now, you know the shield in the New Testament. We know it from the six pieces of the gospel armor, right? There's the belt of truth, the breastplate of the shoes of, and the shield of faith, the helmet of, and the sword of, which is the word of God. So you have those six pieces. One of those is the shield. Now, there are two words in the Greek New Testament for shield. One is of a large shield. It's almost like a door. And they would line these up, these shields, make almost like a wall out of these shields to be down below. And then the other is a small round shield that is usually attached to the forearm that a man would use in a fight, in a sword fight. And here, I think that is the shield that he's speaking of, more the large, where God is the shield. Let me tell you, when the favor of God is on you, doesn't mean you're not going to have any problems, but it does mean that God is your shield. He's a shield unto us. The favor of God is our protection. We are safe under God's favor. Now, again, that doesn't mean you're not going to have any difficulty. Matter of fact, many people I can't wait till next Sunday I get to preach at the end of Acts 28. Paul's in jail for 2 years, and yet the favor of God's on him. You see, friend, from jail, he did more than many people do in freedom, because he had the favor of God. He had the rashan of God upon him. God's pleasure. It's like a shield. And so know that the favor of God. Do you know the only thing that protects Olive Baptist Church is the favor of God? We have to guard the unity. But let me tell you, it's the favor of God that guards us like a shield. Like a shield. All right, second metaphor. Not only is the Old Testament speak of the favor of God as a shield, secondly, it speaks of the favor of God as a cloud. Look in Proverbs 16 and verse 15. Let's look at that verse. You see it up here on the screen. In the light of a king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud with the spring rain. If you're reading the King James, I think it says latter rain. His favor is like a cloud with the latter rain. Where the shield speaks of the protection of God, the cloud brings the presence of God. When the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, there was a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. Often the cloud is the presence of Almighty God. When He comes, He's coming in the clouds, the Shekinah glory in the clouds of God. I always remember, John, when Leo was our minister of music. If it was a cloudy day on Sunday, he loved it. And he always talked about it. We'd kind of come in kind of dreary, and you know, when that front comes in, I'll get a headache until it passes by. Not Leo. He loved the clouds. He loved cloudy days. I don't know why. He just liked cloudy days. He often would tell me, he said, it reminds me of the presence of the Lord, the clouds of God. It speaks of God's presence, for out of those clouds come the latter rain. Dear friend, there will be no ripening and harvesting of the crops if there is not the favor of God's latter rain in your life and in mine. The only way this church reproduces itself is the favor of God. Now, I don't know much about growing stuff. My wife does most of that. In our yard, we have a place where grass doesn't do real well. And so she decided that we would cover that with pine straw and leaves and just make a bed out of it. I thought, well, that's cool with me. It's less grass to have to cut. And so she had me do that, and we covered it up. It really looked good. It was all uniform, put some edging around there. Well, you know, we've had some rain this spring. I got more grass growing through the leaves and the straw than I ever had growing when it wasn't there. I told her, I said, we're going to have to mow the mulch. Stuff's coming up everywhere. What made that happen? The latter rain. The right temperature. The ground cover probably had something to do with it. It's grass. Let me tell you, in a church, when the favor of God is on a church, God is giving the harvest. Last Sunday, we had a young lawyer that got saved after church. It was a glorious time. I'm telling you, I was on shouting ground last Sunday at about 12:30, and he sat right here. One lawyer led another lawyer to Jesus. It was a great scene. And then I get a text this week, email, from one of our members who used to come here. Now they've moved over to Jacksonville where they got a new job. And he said, Pastor, I have three or four of my friends watching you online every Sunday. And he said, one of the guys is lost. And when you gave the invitation last Sunday, he got saved on the broadcast. I said, well, how'd that happen? He said, well, you walked down and you looked right into the camera and you had already given the appeal to everybody else. And then you said, and if you're watching at home, Tom or Tanya or Jack or Jill, he said, my friend's name is Tom. And he said, when you said Tom, you look right in the camera. And he said, it's just like the Spirit of God just struck him. And he told me, and he said, man, I got on my knees and got saved today. He said, the pastor just appealed straight to me. And I'm just telling you, that's the favor of God. That's not me or you. That's God's, that's the cloud of God and the latter rain. When you see a young attorney come or a man watching on the internet feed. I watched our service this morning on Facebook Live. I've never done that before. I'm sitting in the church at Warrington where we're going over to help. I went in the pastor's office over there, and I had about 15, 20 minutes, and so I got my phone out, and they were not Facebook Live on the early service. So I called, and immediately they were Facebook Live on the service. They usually don't do that at 9:30. I didn't know that, and so I watched it. And then 11 o'clock, I had to go to church, and then at 11 on the way home, I was able to flip it on, and I got the first half of the sermon at 9:30. I got the second half of the sermon. He preached long today, I thought. Yeah. And I kept saying, man, I'm getting hungry. But man, what a great word Sean brought today, man. That's a powerful word to us today. Amen. It is good stuff. I got it in two settings, but it was really good. Bless me. And I got all of that. I'm just telling you, it's the favor of God. That's how that works. Whether it's through technology or people in this room, you going door to door. I want you to mark your calendar. I mean, you come on Sunday night, you're some faithful people. Every Saturday in August, from 10 to 12, we're going to go in the shadow of the cross. We're going to draw a ring 2 to 2.5 miles around this building, going out 2 to 2.5 miles, and we're going to knock on every door and give an invitation to Olive and a gospel witness track that we've got printed up. You can share it or give it or just give an invitation. But we're going to knock on it. We dare not go to Warrington and try to replant and revitalize a church and not do the same thing around the mothership. Amen. So in August, in the shadow of the cross is right up there. It's right above the pulpit. If it ever falls, I'm a goner. That cross is illuminated up there. And it's in the shadow of that cross we're going to go for 2.5 miles around. You mark it down. We're going to go do it. And God will give us harvest because of his favor and the cloud of God that rests on us. So we see favor as a shield, Psalm 5:12. We see favor as a cloud, Proverbs 16:15. And then thirdly, favor is a dew, D-E-W, Proverbs 19 and verse number 12. The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. The favor of God is that keeps us from being spiritually dry. When you're walking under God's favor, out of your innermost being will flow what? Rivers of living water. Teenagers, I was really thrilled to hear these testimonies, hear you sing tonight. I got a text from one of our college students who grew up right where you're growing now. He's off in college. Night before last, his roommate overdosed and died. It shocked this young man. He awakened to find the police in his house telling him to go out, wanting to investigate. And when I text him, I'm praying for you, after I'd heard about it through his parents, praying, he texts these words back to me, Pastor, thank you. I realize I'm just not ready to die yet. I texted him back. I said, man, you just got a wake-up call. He said, indeed, that's exactly what this is in my life, a wake-up call. Don't ever get to the place where you're not ready to die. Let the favor of God be on you, so there's always within you a well springing up unto joy and everlasting life. Even when there's difficulty all around, there can be joy in the camp, because the favor of God is like a dew that is refreshing. It's new every morning in your life. Oh, a good name. Good name's a wonderful thing. It's more desired than great riches. And favor is better than silver and gold. Okay, favor, that's great. But how do you get favor? Well, let's talk about that for just a moment here. Then I want us to pray. How do you obtain the favor of God? Six scriptures. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of God look to and fro throughout the earth, looking for a people whose heart is perfect toward him. Not a perfect heart, but a heart that is perfect toward God. Favor only comes to the totally committed unto Christ. Half-heartedness does not get the favor of God. When you are sold out to Christ, he is Lord, he is King, he is your everything. The favor of God. God shows himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfectly his. Psalm 119 verse 58, the Bible says that David sought the favor of God with all of his heart. Not half of his heart, not quarter time, not three quarter. David sought the favor of God with all of his heart. And in Acts 7 and verse 46, in one of those great sermons that we've been looking at on Sunday morning, it says that David found favor with God in Acts 7 and verse 46. How do you get favor? You search for it. You look for it. You seek it. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 9, the Bible says that God granted Daniel favor. Daniel wound up in the lion's den, but he still had the favor of God. See, favor doesn't mean all the problems go away. It just means that the protection and the presence and the refreshment of God's favor is there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 11 says that favor comes through the prayers of others. When people pray for you, the favor of God come on you. I don't know, in this room, there are not many people in this room right now that have people pray for them as much as I have people pray for me. As you pray for your pastor, I know you do. I send out every Thursday a prayer partner's letter to men, a men's prayer partner letter to all the men who want to be on that. And if you're not on it and you'd like to be and you want to pray with me, you just call my secretary. She'll get an email address, put you on there, and we send out hundreds of those every Thursday. And people get that list. I'm always having people. I say, how'd it go over there? How'd it go over there? Well, I know they got that email list. They've been praying for me. Favor of God comes with the prayers of people. Evidently, while I was in Wisconsin, my prayer partners were praying for me. Because I'm here to tell you, the hand of God came in that meeting on Friday night. Now, when I got up at 5 o'clock the next morning to go to the Milwaukee airport, evidently, you were not up praying for the favor of God. If I want you to know more about that, I'll tell you. But it was kind of a rough morning for the pastor, all right? I got there, but it was kind of hard. Yeah. Well, I'm thankful for people who pray for me. Because favor, according to 2 Corinthians 1:11, comes through the prayers of other people. And then one last thing, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, If you do right and you suffer, you find favor. It's amazing. Peter walked through difficulty, and he says, when you walk right and suffer, not when you're doing bad, but when you do righteousness and suffer, the favor of God is on you. The rashan, the blessing, the delight, the willful good of God is on us, the favor of God. Always think of this word every time somebody has a birthday party and they have party favors. That always amazes, kind of a new phenomenon for kids. You go to somebody else's party and you get something. That ain't right. I'm telling you, that's not right. That's a communistic birthday party where everybody gets something. That's my birthday.
Amen.
Give me the stuff.
Amen.
When it's your day, we give you the stuff. And everybody gets something. Well, let me tell you, when it comes to favor, everybody doesn't get it. It's not a party favor. God's favor comes to those that give their all unto Him. I got a book I want to read you just a 2 or 3 sentences out of. There's a lady in our church who is a widow, who was married to a pastor. There are more than one of those in our church. But this lady, I stopped by several years ago to visit with her, and she said, "Pastor, I don't even know if you know that my husband was a pastor." I did not. I didn't remember that. And she showed me his library. She said, "Would you like to have a book out of my husband?" I said, "Oh, I'd just be delighted." And so I kind of scoured through, and several of the things, we preachers read the same stuff, but there were some things he had I didn't have, and one of those was this little book. "I have other works by this man, but I didn't have this particular one, which is Golden Nuggets from Kenneth Wiest. He was a Greek teacher at Moody Bible College years ago. And in that, he writes a little paragraph that grabbed my attention entitled, 'The Monkey Wrench in the Machinery.'" Listen to what Dr. Wiest had to say. He's talking about the book of Romans. He says, "Romans can be likened to a great factory. The 6th chapter of Romans takes us to the floor where the machinery is located. There we have the mechanics of the spirit-filled life, namely the power of sin broken and the divine nature is implanted in us. When you go to the 8th chapter, he said, it ushers us into the basement where the power to operate that machinery on the 6th floor is generated. There we have the dynamics of the spirit-filled life, the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, when you go to chapters 12 through 16, it takes us to the upper floors of the factory where the finished product is on display. But it's chapter 7 where the monkey wrench is found. If it falls into the machinery, it interferes with the working and thus prevents the production of the finished product." Don't miss this sentence. "The monkey wrench in the Christian life is self-dependent." I Googled, what is the background of throwing a monkey wrench into the machinery? You'll find a lot of different backgrounds of that, but I've used that before. Several years ago, one of our men who worked at an international paper invited me out to visit. I'd never been to IP to see that, and it was when they were changing over from white paper to brown paper, and they were going to make boxes, cardboard boxes. And so I went out there. And that day while I was there, he had to leave me, and I noticed way down the hallway, it's a huge building, there was just brown paper everywhere. And what had happened is that one of the machines had gotten off of its roller. And that brown paper that was supposed to go through perfectly was just going everywhere. And I said to him, it looks like somebody threw a monkey wrench in the works. I don't even know where that comes from, but we all know what that means. We know what a monkey wrench is. It's a big wrench. It's got that vise up here. You can roll it, make it up and down. And if you've got some wheels that are, you stick one of those in there and it'll mess the machine up. We says, that keeps you from having the favor of God, the monkey wrench, is when you become self-dependent rather than spirit-filled. And you think you can do the work of God in the flesh rather than by faith. Dear church, we dare not put the monkey wrench of our self-dependency into the machine of God's work in our life. Because it's only then that the favor of God comes to us. I'd like you just to sit quietly for 30 seconds and for the people on either side of you, if you know their name, call it. If you don't know their name, just say, Lord, this individual, and ask God to grant favor in their life. Would you do that? I'm going to go pray for Paul, and Paul's going to pray for me, and I want you to pray one for another for the favor of God to be in that person's life. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, grant us favor. And I pray that we would know that all the days of our lives. Help us to seek you with a perfect whole heart, and that your favor would abide on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul ought to know this sermon. He went with me to Warrington this morning. I preached this sermon at Warrington today. A few of our other folks were with me over there. The one part I did not share with you, but I share now, I used as the opening illustration, I want to use as my close. Over in the book of Zechariah, chapter 11 and verse 7, Zechariah is trying to put together Judah and Israel, bringing two peoples together. I was there this morning speaking to our friends at Warrington, of bringing their church and our church together. And in Zechariah chapter 11 and verse number 7, Zechariah said, I come to you with two staffs, one in each hand, the shepherd's staff in this hand and the shepherd's staff in this hand. He would later destroy both of them. But he said, these two I bring to you, and one is named Union, and the other is named Favor. Dear friends, if we're going to keep a church together, let alone have another church join with us, we need union and we need favor. We need the favor of God and the union of God's people as we come together, being one in Christ. The only way to get Israel and Judah together was for union and favor to bring us together. And this morning, when I preached there, they introduced me, and the way that they introduced me was the gentleman who was at the front said, now our pastor is coming to preach to us today. Because last week we merged these churches, and all of their members rolled into our family. Union doesn't mean we're united. Just means we're together. See, there's a difference in being together and being united. It takes the favor of God to bring unity. And that's what we're praying for with these churches and going forward. And that's what I pray in this congregation tonight, that we would have unity and favor one with another. Amen?
Amen.
May the favor of God be on you. Now, you received some reading material when you came in. We need to take about 3 minutes here and do just a couple of items. Then I'm going to have an invitation to prayer at the conclusion, because that's the greatest piece of business we can ever do. If you have that business folder in front of you, the minutes are there, and I'm sure you've had time to look at those, and they are in front of us. And then I need to entertain a motion that we formally include all of these folks on page 2 that were baptized in the last quarter, and on page 3, those that joined by statement of faith and came by letter, that we formally include all of those people into the life of Olive Baptist Church. Thank you. Have a second? Have that? Thank you. Any question regarding that? All in favor of receiving those into our family formally, signify by saying, welcome. And that'd be every one of us, or you'd have had some questions about that, all right? Now, we have some a-coming and we have some a-going, all right? So you turn to the next page, and we need to formally release the people that they've called for a transfer of membership, beginning with Victor and Megan up to Central Baptist Church in Corbin, Kentucky. I know the pastor at that church. All the way down to our friends, the Seals, going over to Navarre. You see those families that are there that are moving their membership to other sister churches, and I'd entertain a motion that we grant those letters. Thank you. Second? And I have that. Any question regarding those? All right, seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed by no. And that'll be ordered. Then we have two recommendations that we need to bring to you tonight. The first one I can take care of, but the second one, I need our chairman of the finance committee to make his way on down here, so we'll be ready to take that and go with the budget here in just a moment. The first one is the Committee on Committees. You see at the bottom of page 4, with concurrence of our deacons, recommends the approval of the members listed in section 5, the 2017 Standing Special Committees and Church Officers. That's on the very back page of your handout that you have, from the Committee on Committees all the way down to the church officers. Whew, I'm relieved. I'm glad my name's still on that list. Amen. And so you see those that are there, the committees and officers, and we need to affirm those. Any question about that? Doesn't need a second, but have that motion coming from the committee. All in favor of that, signify by saying serve. All opposed, come to the altar and say, I'll do it, all right? So we'll put these people to work, and we need that there in front of us. And then our budget recommendation that our deacons have dealt with, and we had a time this afternoon. If you had any questions beforehand, you could have asked them, or we'll allow you to do it now. But our chairman will come and share that recommendation with us. Do you need this, or you have it? Okay, good. Go right ahead. You'll find the recommendation on the bottom of page number 4. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you will need a microphone in its own. Yeah, let me get this out of your way.
Good evening. My name is Steve Smith, Chairman of the Finance Committee. I'll read the recommendation. The Finance Committee, with concurrence from the deacons, recommends approval of the 2017-2018 fiscal year budget in the amount of $8,255,700. Also, the Trust of God provides an increase in the revenue. We recommend approval for expenditures up to 5% over the budget, corresponding to the percentage.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have that recommendation printed there for you, and then there was a handout that spelled it out just a little farther. And let me just speak to that for a moment. You'll notice that the budget goal, which last year was 8.5, is this year 8.2, and we gave about 8.2 this year. We built that 5% in last year, and we printed it there, but with the debt on the new building and paying this one off, and the new air conditioner that we got to buy. I'm just telling you, you need to pray for your pastor to have the favor of God about this air conditioner, all right? Because I was expecting to stand right here on this day and promise you that if you gave everything you promised to give, by Christmas, we'd have every bit of debt gone. And we would have if we didn't have to replace this $1.7 million air conditioning unit to air condition the whole plant. But ours is 25 years old and gone. And that's baked into this budget. And that's the reason that we've had to change some numbers around. But next year, we're going to get after that deal and pay it off in Jesus' name. We're going to do it. I think I got the theme in Deacon's meeting this afternoon. But that's the reason for a little bit of the change this there. Now, do you have any question you want to ask the chairman or myself or Dan Beard about the budget that's presented to you? All right, I see none. All in favor of adopting this as our budget goal, raise your right hand and say amen.
Amen.
All opposed by no. And that's every one of us, and we'll shoot toward that goal and beyond. And if God blesses and we have an uptick in giving like we had the year before, we'll have extra to spend and pay the rest of that off. Amen and amen. Those were the items that had come to us for our quarterly business meeting. Any member have anything else you need to bring to the floor of the church? Yes, Charlie. Yes, sir. The Deacon Group and the Building Grounds approved them. It's a $1.7 million replacement of the air-conditioned deal. It's in the brick yard out here. It's just done, and we could either not have heating and air or replace it. And so we had to do it, and that's all I know, and Dan's got all the particulars. But it's 1.7, isn't it, Dan, to get the whole thing done? 1.8, okay. So that's what that is, Mr. Blackwell. And they bid that out to some different firms. And the what? The status. They're starting pretty quick, okay? So it's coming. Didn't you told the deacon something about the timing? All right, so construction coming quickly as soon as that stuff gets on the ground. Yes, sir. So ought to be here quickly. We get it in. And then we can work on getting her paid for. That'll be good. That's a big ticket. But we figured you wanted to be warm and cool. I heard an amen. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Any other thing need to come before the body? Amen. Amen. You're a gracious bunch. This is good. Hey, I love you in Jesus' name. Hey, who you going to come to the piano, John, or you going to let Jamie work tonight? Amen. John's just slothful tonight. He's taking off. That's good. Jamie, run up here and I want you to play. And now tonight, you may say, Pastor, I need somebody to pray for me about favor. You may be here and never trusted Christ. You may be like old Tom I talked to in that video camera. You may be here without Christ and need to trust him. And we want to invite you to come. You may be here and want to join this church tonight. Be a part of our family. Or we'd invite you to come and just say, this is my night. I'd like to unite with the Olive family. Maybe you're here saved, never been baptized. You want to come. Just praying for the favor of God, of being obedient unto the Lord. In a moment, Jamie's going to begin to sing. You can join him singing on this song if you care to. And as we stand right now all over this room, and as he begins to sing, God's invitation goes out in your heart. It's your night. Your night. No, many came this morning. Maybe it's your night to come tonight. I'm here. Some of the other guys are here. You step out and you come. That's it. Anybody else, just make your way right here. Blessed be the name of the Lord.